Sanctuary cities. We've been hearing a lot about them lately. And as Trump's immigration policies start to take hold, there's a new map of the U.S. that's starting to emerge, a map where some places are safer than others for undocumented immigrants, places like sanctuary cities. So here's where I want to bring in the world's Rupa Shenoy and Monica Campbell. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Marco.
Hi, Marco.
Now, you both cover issues that relate to immigration for the world, and you've been speaking with a lot of people lately about sanctuary cities. So let me get out of the way for the next few minutes, and you tell us what you found out, starting with you, Rupa.
Thanks, Marco. Okay, let's start out with the most basic question. What is a sanctuary city? Because I was talking to Sarah Saldana, the former head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and she was complaining that it's just a term that's thrown around a lot.
It means so many different things to many people that it becomes meaningless.
That's right. And this is Monica, by the way. The definition of sanctuary really varies. For some, it's a vague label. For others, it's really meaningful. I mean, the term sanctuary, it's rooted in the 80s, when churches in the U.S. sheltered Central Americans fleeing civil war there. But today, it means something different. It means more like cities or counties that are limiting their cooperation with ICE, with immigration. And right now, there's about 600 sanctuary counties in 29 states. So this is not a coastal thing. You have cities like Chicago and New York and San Francisco, of course, but you also have sanctuary counties in places like Wyoming, North Dakota, and Colorado.
Yeah, and since sanctuary is kind of not working with the federal government, it might be important to look at the ways the federal government would prefer cities and counties to work with them. Saldana went through the two major ways ICE would prefer cities and counties to cooperate. The first way is through detainers.
Right. So detainers are used by ICE to request that the police hold an undocumented immigrant in custody.
So when police anywhere arrest someone, they book them, they run their fingerprints, and this request from ICE will come up. And that's the point where the local authority can either report the person and hold them for ICE or not.
And hold them for 48 hours longer than they would have been held originally.
Giving ICE time to get there. Saldana says this is a really important way ICE would like cities to cooperate, because she says realistically it's going to take years to hire the 10,000 additional ICE officers Trump wants. So Saldana says if the administration is going to meet its targets, it probably has to happen through local police. But with detainers, there have been allegations of abuse by local police and holding people for way longer than 48 hours. And Saldana says the Obama administration actually cut down on its use of detainers.
But there's another way the government could go on this, and that's to train local police and actually deputize them to be ICE agents themselves.
Saldana says about 37 police departments were cooperating with ICE under Obama. And she says most of them were led by elected officials who ran on platforms to crack down on illegal immigration. And I know some of these cities and counties own detention facilities. So I asked Saldana, is this also a business decision? Is it a conflict of interest if they are holding people and maybe getting compensated for it?
They can be compensated for certain expenses. They're not paid, but I've heard many counties complain that they need compensation and reimbursement of expenses to a much greater extent than we do currently.
So there are reasons for local sheriffs to work with ICE, but others don't. They don't see the sense in it. And there are a few reasons for that. Cops say it hurts community policing, and this is really key. There's the question of resources. Can cops act on every undocumented person they come across? In places with a lot of immigrants, like California or New York, that's really tough.
Yeah, and just because a city calls itself a sanctuary doesn't mean ICE can't just show up and arrest people. We saw this under Obama, and we're seeing it happen now, perhaps more aggressively. At least that's what Austin Mayor Steve Adler says. He didn't get any notice when ICE launched an operation there, arresting even people who hadn't been charged with crimes.
They were picking up people that just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, nearby somebody who was being targeted.
Adler told me some people called 911 when ICE agents showed up recently. And I asked him if local police would ever keep ICE from arresting undocumented immigrants, like those who haven't committed crimes.
I don't see our officers stopping or hindering federal officials from doing their jobs. That's not their job.
So ICE can work on its own, but being a sanctuary city can slow down the work of immigration agents. And President Trump's threatening to cut off funding to sanctuary cities because of that.
But Saldana is a former U.S. attorney, and she doesn't think he has much legal basis for that threat. She doesn't understand why this administration doesn't take a less confrontational approach.
When you know that there's going to be this conflict, why not, like so many other issues, try to work with local officials to come to a resolution that makes sense for those communities? This is what we were doing under the Obama administration. It was frustrating. You have people who don't particularly want to work with you. We had identified at ICE 25 jurisdictions which were not cooperating with us. And we ended up getting 17 to cooperate with us in a meaningful way.
So there's this back and forth about sanctuary. But some people are against any immigrants in the U.S. illegally being here. And Trump is lifting up that opinion. And he's creating a new office called Voice.
I have ordered the Department of Homeland Security to create an office to serve American victims. The office is called Voice. Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. We are providing a voice to those who have been ignored by our media and silenced by special interests.
Monica, what was that reaction there? It sounds like they were gasping.
Well, Voice will help victims of alleged crimes by unauthorized immigrants and help those people keep up with the deportation proceedings, things like that. And it's controversial because studies are solid that immigrants here, illegally or not, commit less or no more crime than people born in the United States. And the question is this office distorting the picture of immigrants and crime?
Okay, but some people do welcome what Trump's doing.
Absolutely. I talked to Sabine Durden. Her son died in Riverside, California. His motorcycle crashed into a pickup driven by an undocumented Guatemalan man. No license and a history of DUIs. But he lived in a sanctuary area, so his record wasn't enough to hand him to immigration. Durden met Trump during his campaign to tell her story and her son's story.
He sat with us in a private room, no bodyguards, no cameras, nothing, and just wanted to hear our stories. And at the end, he cried with us.
That's why I'm glad when President Trump talked about his new program. We don't have anybody fighting for us, but a lot of people fight for illegals and find all kind of excuses.
I also asked Jordan what she thought about Voice and the idea that creating this office might mislead people into thinking that immigrants commit a lot more crime than in reality.
That's asinine, absolutely unreal, because there's not a little bit illegal and a little bit pregnant. You're either illegal or you're legal. And it shouldn't matter whether you have a violent conviction or a crime that you committed or not. Do we have to wait until they do turn violent? One victim, because of an illegal, is one victim too many. And if the killer of my son was deported, if he wouldn't have been able to get back in here, and if he wouldn't have received a probation for his first DUI and then his second DUI, my son would still be here.
Then there's this reality for some immigrants and how life can turn out differently depending on whether you're in a sanctuary city or not.
Absolutely. I talked to one man. His name's Alejandro. He asked not to use his full name because he's undocumented. And he lives in Alameda near San Francisco, just across the bridge. He works in construction and he remodels Silicon Valley mansions. A few years ago, he got a DUI. And because Alameda cooperates with immigration, he's now fighting deportation because of that DUI.
I've been in the United States half of my life, which is close to 14 years. I've been working really hard, really, really hard since the beginning to have just a better living, not for me, but for my kids.
And Alejandro's from Mexico, but he has three kids in the United States. All of them are U.S. citizens. And here's the thing. If Alejandro lived just across the bridge in San Francisco, a sanctuary city, he wouldn't have been turned over to immigration for that DUI.
I'm literally 4 miles away from San Francisco. I don't really think it's fair. Like some people having better rights than the other one.
He also has mixed feelings about sanctuary cities. He thinks one strike shouldn't get you deported, but multiple crimes, maybe.
Yeah, I think nobody's perfect. You can make mistakes depending on your mistakes, and you can learn from them. But there is a point, like one, two, three strikes. I mean, after that, it's not really an excuse. It's like those type of people, they put a bad rep into other people. And that's what the problem it is. It's like we know all of us, we know all the same. I'm not a criminal.
So that's where we are. We're a society debating what we think about this. And I really want to mention it, even though we don't have time to go into it, is that the people who are detained by local police or detained by ICE, the majority of them end up in private detention facilities that are paid by the federal government to hold undocumented immigrants. And so that is something that we're going to be looking at very closely.
That's a big part of this story, and we'll be digging in on that throughout the year. And meantime, we're mapping Sanctuary America, so to speak, and we'll be tracking the cities and counties as they flip, either toward sanctuary or away from that. So you can look at that on PRI.org if you want to keep tracking how Sanctuary America will be changing over this year or the coming years.
And we'd really like to get your thoughts and reactions on sanctuary cities. What do you want your local police to do? Help ICE or not? And why? Call the hotline for the World's Otherhood podcast and tell us what you think. That number is 802-520-H-POD. Or if you just like the numbers, it's 802-526-4763. That number is on our Facebook page, and we'll tweet it out, too. We'll play some of your responses on the show and include most of them in the next episode of Otherhood, which you can find at PRI.org, on iTunes, or whatever podcast player you prefer. That number again is 802-520-H-POD or 802-526-4763.